Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What Are To Say podcast, where we share oh my god,
it's been a long time.
So we share our candid conversations about life, love, and everything in between.
Everything in between.
My name is Vinning, and today I am joined by Antoinette. Hello.
Hello.
And Audrey, hello.
Hello. Hello, hello.
And we don't have Aloysa today. She's taking a little bit of a break, but, you know, we'll have some fun without her.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But she'll be sorely missed as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything because she's going to come after me.
But what happens if you not saying anything is like, you know, gonna get her to come after you even more.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh my god, I miss you so much, Folly.
She'll like that.
There you go. Nailed it.
So today we're going to be talking about attachment styles. And we all took a little bit of a quiz. Now, I am usually pretty skeptical about this kind of stuff. Like anything where you take a quiz and it tells you, like, I don't know, your personality or whatever. I just don't believe in it.
I guess it's like it is reminiscent of your feelings against superstitions as well. That you're just broadly a skeptic. So
I'm just a really skeptical person.
With that being said, it sounded like you had a but at the end of your sentence. Did you have a but or there's no but?
No but.
Oh, she's just a skeptic. Okay. It sounded like, but okay. This quiz sounded legit.
Okay. Even after taking this quiz, V being that there was like calculations and stuff on graphs and stuff.
Oh, there were graphs? I didn't see the graphs. Yeah.
There was like a chart plot. We'll go into that later.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah. So, I love this stuff because it's similar to like love languages to me. You know, it's like, ooh, it's like, and I love astrology. Like, ooh, it speaks to me. Like, yes, you know me. Or maybe it's just a nice self-reflection on myself. You know, like it's a moment of self-reflection doing these quizzes.
I just feel like these things, like it just plays on your confirmation bias. Like you just like look for things that make you, you know, self-affirm who you are rather than like you would like say something doesn't really fit, especially with astrology. If something doesn't really fit, you kind of just like, oh, I didn't see that. You know?
Yeah, true, true, true. Nah, but damn it, Vinning, can you please?
No, I'm playing ball.
I'm kind of on par with like Audrey and Vinning. I am a skeptic. I feel like if there's like actual research and science in quotation marks behind it, then I would believe it a little bit more. Like, have you guys done that personality test where there's, you can be the 16 personalities and it's like IQR,
INFJ stuff?
Yes,
it's different.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The INFJ, ENFJ. Yeah.
That's what
I should do that.
Really? Okay. So
we should do that too.
That, like, those are the ones that are like, every time I take a personality test, it always says I'm introverted, which, you know, I would largely agree with. But sometimes I just wake up on the right side of the bed and I'm like,
that's true.
As extroverted as can be. You know what I mean?
That's true. Like, it depends on the mood that you're in when you're doing the particular quiz.
Yeah,
that's true as well.
Anyway, Audrey, do tell us about the different attachment styles.
Yes, I will. Yes. So these attachment styles are based on a theory from some guy from the olden days. I don't know, but it is a theory. If you want to know more about it in scientific terms, please do your own research because I'm just going to tell you what I've Googled. So attachment styles develop early in life and often remain stable over time. There are four types. There are anxious, avoidant, disorganized, and secure. So secure is kind of what I've read is what you strive to get to, because you want to be secure in your relationships and attachments to people. But for each style, I'll give a quick definition. So anxious attachment refers to refers to people who typically have low self-esteem, strong fear of rejection or abandonment, and clinginess in relationships. They're common signs in this attachment style. So that's anxious. Avoidant is... this one's long. I can't tell you. Anxious. Avoidant is the... so it's called avoidant dismissive. And parents who are strict and emotionally distant to their children, the child typically will not suffer, but they'll have this particular attachment style. Mm-hmm. Children here, they are self-sufficient. They don't tolerate emotional or physical intimacy. Hey, did Antoinette get this one?
No.
They do not tolerate emotional or physical intimacy and might not be able to build deep, long-lasting relationships. Oh, that's not... but the touching... okay, disorganized. A disorganized style. It is... this page is not consistent, which is really frustrating. Disorganized attachment is the most difficult type of insecure attachment. It's often seen in people who have been, who have been physically, verbally, or sexually abused in their childhood.
Oh.
So they're extremely inconsistent in their behavior and have a hard time trusting others. That one's very sad. And then secure is the one that people tend to try to strive towards. This style is the people who have it are typically self-contented, social, warm, and easy to connect to. They are aware of and able to express their feelings. They also tend to build deep, meaningful, and long-lasting relationships. I'm sorry about that mess. I thought I totally got it, but I should have put an actual word pad of those styles because I thought I got it. Whoops, my bad. But that's basically all the styles.
Yes. Wow. So we all did the exact same.
Yes.
It's from the Attachment Project, right, Audrey? And Audrey... yes. Did the research and linked us all to do it. What did we think about the test?
I think,
for example, yeah. I was breezing through the portions where they were specifying questions about my mum. And when I said this to Audrey when it came to my dad, because most of our listeners would know that I haven't had the greatest relationship with my dad growing up. I was like, uh-oh.
So because attachment styles are based on a theory, according to how people are brought up, it did ask questions about your caregivers. So it asked your caregiver one, which is typically the mother figure in your life, and caregiver two, which is usually the father figure that's in your life. So it will ask questions about both your parents, if you have both parents, as well as your relationship, if you have a relationship a romantic relationship, not a relationship, and friendships as well. Kind of just relationships with people more broadly, right?
And it separated the parents portion in two separate sections. Yes. So the first section for mom and dad was to delve into our deepest childhood memories. When we read these questions, and then the second portion was I took it more as like present day kind of stuff,
how you communicate with them now kind of thing. I'm the same as you, Antoinette. For the mom ones, I breezed through them, and then for the dad ones, not that like I had like a tough relationship with him, but this is bringing the Chinese zodiac into life. I'm a monkey and he's a tiger, and if you're into that shit, monkeys and tigers don't get along. And you could tell that, yeah. So Vinny's like, this bitch again with her bullshit. But we would always butt heads. So then it made me think a bit when I answered those questions. And it made me laugh because I was like, oh, mom, easy, no was. And then my dad came along and I was like, oh, it's okay. But it's also like, How about you, Vinny?
Mine was kind of the opposite to you guys. But that's the thing. Like, I don't think these quizzes, and they can't, they don't take into account the nuances of of people's lives. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
they're very surface.
If you just got my answers for my mum, you might have thought that like I don't have a relationship with her. She was like the worst mother to me when I was younger, when that's like it wasn't the case at all. Not you know what case. I mean?
Yeah.
There were questions about like, for example, some of the questions that they ask are about whether you would open up to them if you had a problem. Do you feel comfortable, going to them? And then for me, when I answered for my mom, I was like, strongly disagree. I don't tell her nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then the questions later on were like, do you feel like your that caregiver was really supportive, let you do a lot of, you know, encourage you to do a lot of things when you were younger? And I was like, strongly agree. You know what I mean? Like my mom let me do everything, like sing, dance, play sport, like, you know what I mean? And I don't think, I feel like those set of answers can apply to someone who was potentially like, you know, abused as a child, but that it's not the same in my case. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I see what you mean. There's a lot of different factors that aren't, you can't, they're not quantitative.
And it's also that individual's perception of what they're being asked according to the experiences that they've had with this particular person. That's really insightful, V.
Oh.
It is, right? And when I think about it too, like what Vinning said earlier, it depends on your mood when you do this. Like you might feel like, yeah, my parents are really great. You know, not that they're not, but like you might be in a really good mood. So then you're going to be very positive in the way that you answer. But then another day, you might feel very down and your answers may very drastically differ from what you've chosen to on this day, you know? So
yeah,
apparently I was very cheery, guys.
So did we all screenshot the results? Yes. The script of what our styles were?
Yes,
Who wants to go first?
Actually, I did want to mention this. But the answers for my dad as well, there were things like, similar question. Well, they were basically the same questions, like, do you feel supported? Do you feel, like, comfortable going to that person? And my answers were a little bit, like, more on the stronger side, as in positively stronger for my dad. But it was still, like, I disagree that I could go to him with my problems for a different reason to my mom. Like it's not because I don't feel comfortable, but it's like there's a language barrier. Like there's distance, there's a language barrier. You know, I can't express my feelings in a language that he understands, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's just why I'm just like a little bit. When I got my result, I only read like the first paragraph and I was like, oh, that's kind of true.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, moving on.
Audrey, go first. You tell us what you got.
I said that I was in a cheery mood and I think it's because I say that because I got the secure attachment style. But with that being said, it gives you like a graph of sorts. Like a plot chart of where I don't quite understand the numbers, but I scored very high for avoidance with my father.
It's
still in the secure attachment. It's still in the secure attachment quadrant of the plot chart, but it's ranking very high for avoidance, and I think that's true. Vinning, did you realize that there's the plot chart and now you're like looking at it and it's like, fuck.
What's high?
And with that being said,
Oh, sorry, V.
What's high?
I think like once it starts moving, so for example, with my dad's dot, the green dot, that for me at least, it's going closer to dismissing attachment. Mm-hmm, and then for my partner's... It's, but it's still in the secure attachment. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's moving up towards that attachment style.
That's same as me.
Yeah.
Oh, mine.
And then, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, maybe we can go into the plot chart after. What's your one, Anton and Vinning?
Read us a bit of your, just the first paragraph in the description of your attachment style, Audrey.
So having a secure attachment style means that your needs were met in early childhood or that you have worked hard to get here and you have succeeded. So with the conversation that we've just had, there are things that, you know, can skew the answer that I have tomorrow, say. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, if I'm in a particular mood. Yeah, so that's my one.
V, what did you get, V? I want to know.
I got the profile as disorganized / fearful avoidant. So I think that's the worst one you can get.
Oh, no. Well, it's not the worst
one. It's just the one that is a bit unpredictable.
Complex
is better. Yes, that's a better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is the first dot point, and that was the dot point that I read that I was like, oh, that's actually kind of true.
Okay.
You show contradictory behaviors in your intimate relationships. Sometimes you are clingy and needy, and at other times dismissive and distant. Which is so true. It's also possible that you get dissociated and disconnected in relationships. Which is really true. Okay. Sometimes I am really clingy and needy, and sometimes I'm like, please leave me alone.
Wow.
Antoinette, what did you get?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Before we go, yeah.
I got anxious / preoccupied.
Mm.
So
what does that mean?
I'll read the graph because I think I'll read the little paragraph about it, and then I'll read some dot points that spoke to my personality.
Yeah. Mm. I want to do that too after. Yeah.
Yes, anxious preoccupied. The anxious preoccupied attachment style, referred to as the ambivalent in children, is created in the first 18 months of life. With the primary caregiver, usually the mother or the father. The roots of this attachment style are based on perceived neglect. The parents did not necessarily neglect the child actively, but the child perceived that his or her needs were not met. Mm. Growing up, people with this attachment style start to neglect their own needs and to put the needs of others first, which is something that was spoken about in previous podcasts. They expect that if they are nice and caring to someone, he or she will like them and take care of them in return. And as soon as I read that, I was like, that hit really hard. Mm. And then some of the dot points that resonated with me is you lack a strong sense of self, which I don't know, and tend to put others first. I agree with that. You take care of others and place more importance on them and their needs instead of yourself and your needs. You have a hard time being alone. I don't think so. Kind of, I don't know, when I'm in a mood. Seeking approval was one. I tend to go back and forth with exhibiting clingy and needy behaviors in fear of being abandoned.
Mm. Mm.
I think there are some points where I'm like, oh, not so much, but I pretty much think that's a good little summary? Description. Yeah, good summary. That's the one.
Yeah, like maybe the main points.
Yeah. The main points, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Is the now knowing your attachment style, does it kind of make you feel like you should be trying to move into secure, or like now that you're aware of it, or
So with my graph, I'm all of my points, so like my partner, mother and father, are all within the secure attachment block. In terms of knowing what my attachment style is now, I don't think it's not really groundbreaking footwork in terms of like what I've known about my life. I think I've known that a lot of the reason for why I am and how I am today is because of my childhood and traumas and things like that. But it is insightful to see the graph.
It is, right? Like when I look at it, because my anxiety is tipping onto my anxiety for my partner is tipping into preoccupied attachment. It's the highest it can go. It's basically between secure attachment and preoccupied attachment. And I think it rings true because like I'm worried about being abandoned by my partner, but I don't feel that with my parents. For my parents' thoughts, it's really low. Like my fear of my anxiety related to them is really low. But my avoidance for my partner is really low because I want to be with him. Same as my mom. My mom's one is like the best thought. My dad and Andy.
So for my mom, my anxiety is at one. It's on the line. So it's very little. My avoidance is 2.33, which I do recall when I was answering questions about communication at present day. I did feel like I can talk to her at any time. I feel like I can go to her if she's reliable. However, I did notice that I was kind of mixed feelings with maybe things that I would go to her about. So I think that's where the avoidance is coming from. With my dad, my anxiety is at 2.67.
That's not bad.
Which is verging, it's about to touch dismissing attachment, guys. And with avoidance, it's at 3.67. So I'm starting to go into the preoccupied attachment section. And with my partner, which was really interesting, my anxiety was 3.67, which was not which is high.
Yeah, mine was 4. So we're anxious about our partners leaving.
Yeah. Oh, and then my avoidance is 2.17. I think that speaks to like the independence. Like I am okay with having space from him. I don't need to like, because I did notice when I was answering for Jerome, do I feel comfortable? Yes, I do feel comfortable going to him. But I also was picking and choosing when I show my vulnerable side. Maybe because like,
There are some things that need to be your own.
Yeah.
Like to have a sense of self, there are some things that you don't necessarily need to always share with your partner.
Yes.
In the deepest sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's my reasoning. What about you, Garth? Are you looking at your graph, Finny?
Yeah,
I'm slowly understanding this graph. Thanks to your all your examples.
Yes.
In general, I have very low anxiety about everything.
Let's trade it. Okay. I would love to have your low anxiety.
So my anxiety with my mother and father, 1.67, 1, and with my partner is also 1.67. So I have no issues about them ever leaving me.
Or you don't care.
It's funny.
The thing is though, well, okay, let me see. I have no issue. Well, Aaron and I have said this to each other. We said, you know, if one person wants to leave, then leave.
Remember you having that conversation. Yeah. Like you saying that in an episode, I think, actually.
Yeah.
In your episode with him, yeah.
Like, and that the reason we're, like, there's a real reason we're together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've both been like, you know, if you want out, get out. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the avoidance with my parents is quite high.
Both your parents?
Yeah, so 6.17 for my mother. Whoa. So that's like well in the dismissing attachment.
Yeah.
Quadrant.
Right.
And my father is 5.67. But like I said, it's not anything to do with I don't know how they treated me when I was younger. Yeah. You know what I mean? More like there is a cultural barrier, there is a language barrier, there is and I think a lot of children of immigrants might feel this way. Especially when there is a language barrier. Like for you guys, you guys speak English quite well with your parents. Whereas it's not the same with me speaking English to them or them speaking Cantonese to me. Like it's just like I speak like a 3-year-old when I'm speaking Cantonese. You know what I mean? Like that's so
you won't be able to express yourself.
It's really hard to express your feelings. And it's the same for my parents. Like they can't. Like they'll tell me how they're feeling, and I have to literally ask them every second adjective that they say. I'm like, what does that mean? And then when they explain it, they're using more words that I don't understand. So it's just like you just can't be bothered at that point. You know what I mean?
You're just like, just say good, or bad.
So
That is my so one, insightful.
My anxiety is low for my parents, like I said, but my avoidance is low for my mom and my partner. I'll give the numbers. My mom is 1.67 anxiety, avoidance is 1.17, so she's very much close secure. My father is anxiety is 1.33 and avoidance is 3.17. My partner anxiety is 4 and avoidance is 1. And like with my partner, the anxiety being 4 makes sense to me because there are times where Andy's exactly the same, where we'll just be looking at each other. We won't be doing anything, we'll be doing our own thing. Like say I'm cooking and he's watching TV and I'll just suddenly look at him and be like, never leave me. Like, like I just do it.
You're on the polar opposite of Vinny.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, leave.
You're not going to leave me, right? I don't know why, though. I don't know what it stems from. Makes me reflect. Like, why am I like that?
Yeah, I wonder what it's... Yeah. What because was your my dad's parents,
my dad's score? My avoidance for my dad is 3.17. My anxiety for my dad is 1.33. Maybe it's just that I just avoid my dad, so then I don't worry about being anxious about it since he can't be mad at me. So then I don't care. If he does it, if I avoid him enough, he can't get mad, you know?
Yeah, true. You can't hurt me if I'm far away. Can't get me.
You can never get me. You can never catch this. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Makes you think,
really.
Maybe I'll do it again tomorrow and see, like, if it changes. You know, we should actually put into our Instagram our charts, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's save our charts and we'll put it in the slide deck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. I feel like with all these tests, it's always like you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And. Like you said, Antoinette, there's always like a bit of, you know, science behind it or research at least. And so there has to be at least, I guess maybe, like the big points that add up, but it's those nuances that they can't pick up. You know what I mean? It's not, it's not possible.
No.
And I guess it's up for you to make sense of the results that you get like we are.
Agree. I think that like
totally.
You make it what you want, you know. If you want to if you determine that particular things are things that you would like to work with because of this, then fine. But if you just take it as a grain of salt, say it's interesting and then move on with your life. That's totally fine too.
And I think when I think about my score with Jerome, I'm like, why am I preoccupied with him? Like teetering preoccupied. I think about that and I'm like, I just think about if I had answered the test very early on in our relationship, if I had answered Jerome's portion before answering like my mother and father's portion, maybe I would have answered things a little bit more differently and been a little bit more like, oh, sunshine and rainbows. Mm-hmm. But then after realizing the aspects that contributed to my relationship with both my mother and my father, that's when I was like trying to just kind of hold like a microscope to my relationship with Jerome. And I think, yeah, if I had answered the questions in different timeline, I probably would have gotten a different answer for Jerome. But I think, a lot of my traumas do show up in my relationship with Jerome for sure.
I'm going to get Andy to do this. Let's test. I want to see your anxiety against me. It'll be probably 4 as well.
Because it's with Jerome, it's weird because like my anxiety is high. So it's like, don't leave me.
Yeah.
But then like my avoidance is like, but I don't care if you do. This is so interesting.
Oh, God. My one's don't leave me, and my avoidance is it will hurt. I was supposed to be cheery. I'm secure. I feel like I'm actually anxious. What is this bullshit?
Yeah, that is so funny. So does the final attachment style, so Audrey got secure, Vinning got disorganized, / what did you get, V? Sorry, what was your /
Fearful, avoidant.
Yes, and I got anxious, preoccupied. Does that speak more towards our childhood?
Yes.
Okay.
What the attachment theory is saying is that these styles, they develop in childhood and usually they remain stable throughout adulthood. Mm. But with that being said, you can make changes in the way that you approach relationships as an adult so that you can, you know, move more towards that secure attachment quadrant. Not that you need to, like, not that it's wrong if you're not in that quadrant, but if you would like to have an attachment style that where you're more sure of yourself and your place in a relationship, then you can make moves to get to that point. I don't know what moves to make. That's probably something that you do with your shrink, but you can move from quadrants. So someone who's secure, they could date some total asshole and move to disorganized. Like that could totally happen, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
True.
A bit further down in the results, it gives you a result for the 5 primary conditions for secure attachment.
Oh no, I didn't.
And the corresponding benefits for self-development. And it rates your mum or caregiver 1 and father or caregiver, I think it's meant to say 2. It says 1, but it should be 2. And then the 5 primary conditions are protection, attunement, soothing and reassurance, expressed delight and encouragement. And then it gives you a little score, which, I mean, those numbers are completely arbitrary, but the result, there's a qualitative result. And so I'm interested in hearing what your qualitative results are.
I didn't screenshot that. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pass. But like, I would like to hear your guys' one. I didn't scroll down enough. I just saw that there was something to pay for and I just checked out. Sorry.
What? I just downloaded the PDF.
Yeah. Oh, did you get sent the file, emailed?
Audrey. Oh, yes. Dickhead over here. I screenshot the finishing page.
So what are we looking for, Arch? V?
Vinning?
Well, mine's on page 4.
Let me have a look.
Yep.
It's loading.
Yep.
And it gives you it says your results, mum or caregiver 1.
Okay. Go through yours, V. I want to hear you feel comfortable.
So it doesn't tell you like what the range is. Like it tells you the numbers, but it's like, what's the range?
True. Like, how do you know if it like is 5 a high number or is it average?
Yeah. So for my mother, I got 5 on all of them except for encouragement. I got 7. and that resulted in a moderately secure. And my father is 5 for all of them again, but then 4 for Express Delight. And I don't really feel like that's true. But I also got moderately secure for him. So, so I'm confused now. I was moderately secure. I mean, they gave me moderately secure conditions for secure attachment. Interesting. Which I don't think that's I feel very secure in the conditions that I was brought up in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so for my mom, my average was 5.8. I scored 6 on all of them except for attunement, which was 5. And my result was moderately secure. For my dad, I only scored 5 on expressed delight. I scored 4 on everything else except for soothing and assurance. I scored 3. And that gave me moderately insecure.
For me, I think my mom was the one that made me feel secure, because my mom's one, protection, was 7. Am I looking at the right one? Yeah, I am, right?
Yes.
Attunement is 6. Soothing and reassurance was 7. Express delight was 7. Encouragement is 7. Average of 6.8 for a secure rating. Whereas my father, protection was 7. Attunement was 5. Soothing and reassurance was 3. Express delight was 5. Encouragement was 6, which was moderately secure. So I think it was just my mom tipped me over onto the scale. Thanks for helping me feel secure, I didn't realize there was a whole report. I thought I just had to put my email there.
Oh, no.
So I just screenshot it. Funny.
It's such an... it's an interesting thing, because when I think about, like, how I answered the question, my my leaning towards a number on the scale to tick came after memories. So my first thought when being asked the question was a memory, and sometimes it was a collection of memories, and sometimes it was a particular memory that related directly to the question I was being answered to. So I wondered if I wasn't so snap ready on the trigger and just thought about it in a more generalized aspect, what I was being asked, maybe I would get maybe a few higher results. Because I think about, like, my mom, and like, my mom was my best friend growing up too, and she still is. And I'm like, why am I scoring fives and sixes, a few sixes? So yeah, I like to think if maybe the timing, if I was in a better mood, like you said, Audrey, I probably consider the questions a little bit more.
Yeah. And also with how you answered the question. So it was like a, it was like a scale of, you know, strongly disagree. And then there was like 2 in the middle in between strongly disagree and neutral. And then another 2 and then strongly agree. And it's like, what do the 2 in the middle mean? You know what I mean? Like,
I viewed it as like a, I'm not quite neutral. If it went to the right, I would say I'm not quite neutral. I have a positive feeling about it, but I'm not overly enthused.
Yeah. Like, I get if there was like maybe 1 in the middle, but like 2, I don't know. I found it really... like, again, it was really arbitrary. And, like, with these things, it's – they always say, like, the more you answer in the middle, the more, I guess, like, unclear your results might be.
Yeah, that's why I went on the spectrum. I either scored really low or really high. That's why my ones for my mom are really high. Because
yeah. Mm. See, I never feel that strongly about anything, except for like, what was one of the
BTS?
Strongly agree. Like the ones about you feel like you'll get abandoned by your parents. I was like, strongly disagree. Like that's the only thing that I would feel, you know, strongly disagree. Yeah.
Mm. I don't think I strongly agreed on anything, even like with the questions about Jerome, even though we're in a really good space. Mm. Like, I'm like, I wouldn't strongly agree. I mean, there's stuff to work on always, mm-hmm. but yeah. Did you guys strongly agree on any?
Yeah, I strongly agreed a lot. I either strongly agreed or I disagreed or close to disagree. Like, so yeah, because I don't know where I heard it. I heard it from, but yeah, like what Winning said, if you put things in the middle, it's not going to show an accurate, apparently, reading. So I was like, okay. Mm. So I always do my surveys like that. I either really strongly agree or I strongly disagree. That's how I always do my questions. Well,
I did a lot of strongly agrees / disagrees, depending on the question, with my partner section. And I think that's why I got like secure attachment. Like I was very much in the quote unquote green zone with Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is very interesting, I feel. Mm. And it's the same with personality tests. Like I feel like some things will like you're like, oh yeah, that does apply to me.
Yeah, we should really do the Myers-Briggs one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that one we'll is full on.
That one takes a long time, doesn't
it? It's long. Yeah.
But it's weird. I agree with you when we're going into it. But like one time I got INFJ and then the next time I was feeling extroverted, I got ENFJ.
Mm.
See?
Mm. Mm.
So anyway, that's not attachment styles. Attachment styles today. Sorry.
Well, shall we wrap it up?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, this has been such an interesting conversation, I believe. This stuff is fun, you know, whether you believe it or not or whatever, it's still fun to do and, you know, pick apart things about yourself or the test or other people.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, it's like getting to know each other more, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we're constantly, even though we think we know a lot about each other, we're constantly finding out new things about each other.
Which is really nice.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks so much for giving us a listen. Hopefully Loisa will be back next week for our next topic. But if you like the podcast, please give us a follow on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. Check us follow us on Instagram. We really appreciate it when you do. And we'll catch you next time.
Catch ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye.